The COVID-19 pandemic has not only changed the way we work, but it has also impacted the way we communicate, the way we consume content, how and what we shop for, and more importantly, how we pay for these things. Speaking of payments, while in pre-COVID times, contactless payments was already gaining popularity, during this lockdown, it witnessed a massive surge. So what accelerated the adoption rate? Well, we can point out two clear factors. One is convenience, and the second is hygiene. In the future of digital economy, the demand for faster, seamless, and more secure contactless payment methods will continue to rise. In fact, according to a survey conducted by Fidelity National Information Services, or FIS's PaySpulse survey for Q3 2020, almost 83% of surveyed respondents note that they would use contactless payments instead of cash or card for in-store shopping in a post-COVID-19 world. My name is Megha Vishwanath, and on this Tech at Work podcast, we try to decode the future of contactless payments in a post-pandemic world with Mahesh Ramamurthy, Managing Director, Banking Solutions, International Market, APAC, FIS. Mahesh, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Let me start by talking to you about this trend that we are seeing where more and more individuals are preferring contactless payments. Let me ask you, do you see this as a long-term trend, or is this a short-lived cycle for contactless payments, and will cash become the king once again in a post-COVID world?
Thank you, Megha. Thanks for taking time out. Obviously, as you rightly said, the pandemic has accelerated the shift to move to digital, and within the digital, the contactless payments. Our survey, if you look at it, there was a cross-section of people who were surveyed from a usage perspective, from an opportunity perspective, and the ease of use perspective, and more importantly, the kind of viewpoints that they would try to provide us in terms of their pattern of usage. Having said that, the biggest takeaway that we had was threefold. One is the fact that digital payment adoption has been quite significant across the age group, more specifically in the age group that we had, which is essentially the Gen X, which is between the age of between the 24 to 35 and 35 to 45. But what was very interesting is also the fact that we saw that the elderly population has also started acceptance of digital payments. And that's very, very interesting to identify, because that really creates a different shift in terms of the experience and in terms of the opportunity that is there for the larger game plan itself. Having said that, the next part that we really saw was in terms of the fact that anyone who looks at the digital payments, they are looking at what are some of the flavors of it. What do they get? For example, if you look at a card, let's take a credit card, for example. It's not just about having a bank issuing a card. One is really looking to see what are some of the add-ons, value-added services that can be plugged in or can be topped up as a part of that. So these are very good turbulent times. So people are really looking at the value addition to usage, value addition to a particular plastic that comes to them. I think these are some of the key learnings that we had. And obviously, as we move on, there is obviously one big concern that also came out is in terms of the security. How secure is the transactions how secure does the acquirers and the issuers who are essentially enabling these provide the comfort to the assurance? I think these are some key areas is what I would probably look at it, Megha.
Absolutely. And these are all topics and areas that we will touch upon during this conversation on this podcast, Mahesh. But let me ask you something, and that is something that I've asked several spokespersons and founders and corporate executives across the board, across different sectors, all the sectors that have seen some shift in trend, which was pushed during this pandemic. And that is that, do you see some of these trends that you are witnessing right now as a long-term trend, or is this a short-lived cycle for contactless payments? Because we're talking about a region where no matter what happens, cash is still the king. So do you think that that status is going to change for cash in a post-COVID world?
So the way I look at it, Megha, to me is definitely it's if it was a very short span in time, it doesn't form a habit. But now, given the extended lockdowns and given the fact that there is still that scare about the whole hygiene point of view and the fact that you need to be careful, I would say that the opportunity to have be contactless payments being here for the future exists. It is going to definitely take off. Is cash going to be completely replaced? The answer is no. But the percentage of cash use will taper down quite significantly. That's for sure. Digital payments through contactless capabilities, I would say that you will see it on the rise. And that rise, you will see what you've seen in the last 3 months, it'll only continue with new innovations, new key experiences that the ecosystem and the front-end acquiring ecosystems are currently bringing to the table.
You spoke about hygiene as being one of the concerns and a growing concern for several users who are out there who want to make payments for things they are consuming right now. But let me ask you, do you think you would qualify that as one of the biggest drivers for going contactless? Or would it be cashbacks, reward points, and all the other offers that all these digital payment systems and enablers are bringing ahead just to lure more and more customers in?
So the point is, the hygiene becomes the start point of going contactless. But eventually, in the short to medium term, what will happen is other value additions will start to gain importance. Today, if you look at it, everyone realizes there is a need to be adopting the contactless system. Why? Because of the fear of the pandemic or the COVID coming, catching that. So they are trying to be a bit careful. But as you start getting used to it, the next phase of it will say, you know what, I start using it. What do I get for this? What do I get in terms of reward points? Do I get some very good cashbacks? Do I get certain other freebies by using this kind of a contactless mode? So eventually, acquirers who are really creating the ecosystem will start to innovate around some of these value propositions. And hence, you will see that it's shifting away from hygiene to the other freebies or value propositions that will come through for sure. That's the way I see it shifting, and that's imperative. You've seen that whether you saw it in the in a chip card, whether you saw it in a plastic card, you always saw that it's an adoption, and the adoption starts to wean away, and hence new opportunities start to gain, value propositions start to emerge to continue to keep the growth rate on.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of shift and speaking of a change that's happening in the ecosystem, how do you see this playing out in the long term for the Indian banking landscape? How important will interoperability become? How important will open wallets become going forward? And how do you see the dynamic changing between traditional banking systems and all these new age players that are looking at contactless payments and digital transactions in a whole new way?
That's a fantastic question. I'll try and keep it as focused as possible because it can be a bit topic on itself, but I'll try and... So interoperability, absolutely. Any wallet engine that comes on to play, wallet plus service provider, has an initial euphoria that comes through. But eventually, as he starts to create an ecosystem around it, there needs to be interoperability. That interoperability will not be now just left to as obligatory, but will become mandatory. And that is going to be probably the next wave that you will start seeing very soon. Wallets enable some safety capabilities because you could transfer money, use only those, and then spend across in terms of that. But interoperability of wallets with the underlying platforms that are coming in, like the UPI and like the other capabilities, will start to create that opportunities to create a larger ecosystem that will allow us to create the digital payments as a way forward. So yes, for sure, interoperability is going to be there. How do you see, to the next question of yours, how do you see it changing the banking landscape? Oh, it is going to start creating a lot of demand within our banking ecosystem, especially in the retail segments, where banks will have to go back to the drawing board in terms of how they are going to digitally enable their banking core ecosystems. It cannot be the traditional model. It has to be far, far more slick, far more easier access. They should effectively start collaborating. So I would always see the banking landscape shifting to saying, you know, I as a bank, how do I collaborate with an ecosystem of partnerships? That's what is going to be the differentiator.
Oh, I mean, I definitely, collaboration seems to be the only way forward, and especially the old world meets the new world, and how I would love to be a fly on the wall when these meetings and brainstorming sessions are happening, where the newer players are sitting down with the traditional banks to help them up their game when it comes to contactless payments. That's a meeting that I'm sure all of us want to be witness to at some point. But speaking of the newer players, according to your survey, I believe Paytm has emerged as one of the most popular mobile wallets in India. And this was followed by Amazon Pay, Google Pay, PayPal, and even PhonePe. And that just brings me to a point just to understand, of course, neobanking is a whole new branch altogether. But when it comes to a very simple mobile wallet structure, do you think that this is going to be a winner-takes-it-all market, or is there space for multiple players to exist and have something different to offer to users out there?
So I would say it's a first-mover advantage definitely exists. So the first-mover advantage obviously came in with Paytm revolutionizing the entire capabilities around wallet. So kudos to them. But there is no specific winner. You will never have a winner in this. It's about who innovates, who continues to innovate, and who continues to create experiences which drives more transactions. So which means I would always say that there is space for a number of parties, but there'll be always a number one, number two, number three. And these will continue to be shifting depending upon what are capabilities and functionalities that create new experiences for a customer. And you would see that, you know, you've seen it. You know, Paytm came in, they did fantastically, but suddenly they came about with the Google Pay, who changed certain game plans, right? They changed the game plan, they changed how they were servicing. The experiences created a lot of shift in a people's mindset. Now with PhonePe coming in, you know what? That's the next new wave that's coming in. Now they're trying to also create a whole ecosystem behind, which will allow more and more transactions onto their platform. So to me, you will always have, this is a kind of, a leadership board, which will keep moving. But yes, you will never have it as a single winner consistently over time. You will be forced to innovate. And it is that innovation which will drive them in terms of 1, 2, 3 on the leadership board. That's the way I would put it. Does the market space, is there for a larger set of providers? Absolutely. We're such a huge market. And I would say that with the emergence and acceptance of both feature phone as well as smartphones, and some of these capabilities coming sometimes in some of them into feature phones, that market is absolutely huge.
You know, we are talking about the future of payments, and let me throw you a crystal ball question. In continuation with what we just discussed, what would happen in the ecosystem when WhatsApp Pay is deployed at scale? WhatsApp is, of course, a platform that Indian users are extremely familiar with. There is very little education that would be required. There is no external application that they will have to download. So what happens when WhatsApp Pay jumps in the arena of contactless payments and digital wallets?
Well, to me, it is going to be like that. Any new introduction is going to catch catch people's fancy. But that doesn't mean others will stop innovating, right? Someone else. So there is going to be euphoria. There is euphoria today. Hey, you know what? That's going to be a complete game changer. So it is going to be there. I think WhatsApp, given its penetration in the market, is going to be suddenly a game changer. But it all depends upon how others in the market essentially try to bring on certain other capabilities. One never imagined 18 months ago, 24 months ago, that you would have phone pay. You would never imagine a Google Play. So you will see those new emergence of players coming in. But along with it, you will also see innovation. So yes, I would see that WhatsApp is going to be an exciting new opportunity. Others are not going to give it up soon. You're going to see very, very intense competition. And the competition all going to be, how do I continue to hook the customer with more experiences? And I call it experiences. I don't call it utilities, freebies, and everything. It's all about experience. And that experience has to be fairly pervasive many a time in terms of allowing you to possibly look at how you essentially go through a person's life cycle and also manage that person's spends accordingly. So I think that's going to be very innovative. And I think some of the players who really are today a combination of both, who have a lot of access to your data, are going to be very, very innovative.
All right. You spoke about experiences being pervasive, but we should definitely touch upon the fact that experience needs to be secure as well. And that's something that we spoke about right at the beginning of this podcast. And no conversation is complete without talking about security. And that brings me to the fact that what would we need, or what would the industry need to do to build necessary security capabilities and infrastructure to combat the growing threat? More and more people are coming onto the digital platform, which would mean that there needs to be more education about cybersecurity on the user end, but at the same time, more security on the back end, and the players will have to up their game. So before I wrap up this conversation, Mahesh, talk to me about what is the industry planning in terms of building a strong moat and a strong security infrastructure?
I think a lot of the banks are starting to realize that the risk management practices that they've adopted till date need to significantly change, because the volume of transactions, the ticket size of the transactions are significant, right? I've reduced, but I've increased numbers, but I've reduced in terms of the per ticket size, per transaction numbers. So what's going to happen is how they deploy their risk management systems, how they deploy their entire, risk processes, as well as the overall security, where they bring an entire end-to-end game plan of managing the cybersecurity, their internal security, all of that into a common cohesive process. That's going to be important, because I think today banks are starting to realize it. The journey is still there. The journey has to be accelerated. And the faster a bank is able to get its act right in terms of getting their risk processes and their entire security, data security, compliance, all of that cohesively well, they're going to be in a better position to manage threats earlier into the cycle than later. And that's going to give them better comfort.
All right, Mahesh, thank you so much for sharing those details with us. And of course, giving us a glimpse of what the future for contactless payments looks like in a post-pandemic world. It's been a pleasure chatting with you right here and discussing what the future of the ecosystem looks like. Thanks a lot for speaking to us and joining us on this podcast of Tech at Work.
Thank you, Megha. Really appreciate your time and your opportunity.